And that's exactly what I'm going to speak about this morning. The gospel of Jesus Christ. I think that's what it's all about, isn't it? That's why we're all here this morning. Because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He was a perfect man, born in perfect lives, lived the perfect life. Never know, was there any guile found in his mouth? He did everything God wanted him to do. And he performed what he needed to perform. And in the end, he gave his life that we could be here today talking about the precious gospel of Jesus Christ. Turn with me in your Bibles, if you have one this morning. And we're going to talk about that picture of grace. The title of this sermon is A Picture of Grace, and I didn't give it that title. This is a sermon that I heard back when I was a young man. And I believe everybody needs to hear it. But it's not I'm not doing it word for word. This is Craig's way of doing it, because that's the only way I know, is how God leads me to do it. But if you'll turn in your Bibles to Ezekiel, the book of Ezekiel, chapter 16. Ezekiel chapter 16. And we'll start reading there at verse 4. And this is a picture of grace. You can go in the Old Testament and find many pictures of grace. The Old Testament is all about the things that were to come. They are a picture of what was to come. And Ezekiel chapter 16 is a picture of grace. And starting there at verse 4, it says, "And as for thy nativity, that's the day you were born. In the day thou was born, thy navel was not cut. Neither wast thou washed in water to supple thee. Thou wast not salted at all or swaddled at all. None I pity thee to do these things unto thee, to have compassion upon thee, but thou wast cast out into an open field to the loathing of thy person in the day that thou was born." Let's get a picture of this. We have a newborn baby fresh out of the womb that was cast out into an open field. Back in the day, look, it still had the umbilical cord to it. The placenta was still attached to it. And it was cast out into an open field to where it loathed this own person. All that that young child could do, all that that baby could do, was lay there and cry. That baby couldn't pick itself up by its own bootstraps. It couldn't walk away. It couldn't find a puddle to wash in. It could do nothing but cry. That's all it could do. No one cut its navel. It wasn't washed in water to supple it. Thou wast not salted at all. Back in that day, when a newborn baby come, they'd cut that navel, they'd wash it in water, and then they'd rub salt on its skin to cure the abrasions, to cure the imperfections in the skin, to toughen the skin, to make it where it could live. Nor swaddle at all. You take a newborn baby. You ladies know what swaddling a baby is. You wrap it up tight in a blanket and a sheet. So you swaddle it so it feels the security of the womb. That it feels like it's safe where it is. And because it's in a new world, it's in a new dimension. So you swaddle that baby to comfort it. But this baby was not swaddled at all. None I pity thee, none I had compassion on thee to do these things unto thee, but thou wast cast into an open field to the loathing of thy own person. In the day you were born. This is a picture. I'm painting a picture here. This baby that I'm talking about is you. The day that you were born, you were lost. No eye pitied thee. None of this was done to thee. You were on your way to hell the day you were born. There was nothing you could do for yourself. People think they choose to be saved. There's nothing. You're just like this baby. This baby could do nothing for itself. The only thing it could do was cry out. But then something happens. I think you got a picture of this baby. This baby would have lasted less than 30 minutes cast out into an open field. Can you picture the ants coming? Can you picture the vultures coming? You ever heard the term dead man walking? There it is. Just a matter of time. We're all dead men walking this morning because it's just a matter of time. And I'm not going to put God in the box of time. God lives outside of time. God is not bound by time. We are bound by time. And I'm not going to put God in that box because I know from the foundation of the world that God called me and chose my name. And he said, Craig Keith is going to be one of my children saved. But I didn't realize that till I was 28 years old. So God's not in the same time frame that I am in. And I'm not going to do like the Armenian preachers and say, just make a choice. Well, I'm a newborn baby out in an open field. I can't choose to do anything. There at verse 6, something changes there. God says, and when I passed by thee and saw thee polluted in thine own blood, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Yea, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. How many of you ladies, or you men for that matter, could walk by and see a young newborn child in the open field in that condition and pass by? But that's exactly the way God saw us. And when he passed by us and he saw us polluted in our own blood, he said, yay, live. I have caused thee to multiply the blood of the field, and thou hast increased and waxen great, and thou art come to excellent ornaments. Thy breasts are fashioned, and thine hair is grown, whereas thou wast naked and bare. Now when I passed thee and looked upon thee, behold, thy time was a time of love. That's some love. Baby up. I'm going to cut its navel. I'm going to wash it tomorrow. I'm going to swaddle it. It's exactly what Jesus Christ did for you when you were polluted in your own blood. I stand amazed. I'm amazed that God would do that for me. When it was so easy just to pass on by. It says there, none I pitied thee. That means somebody walked by. Somebody saw the situation and did nothing about it. There's many stories in the Gospels where Jesus passed by and corrected a situation. I believe one was a blind man, and he made a little spittle of mud and put it on that man's eyes and told him to go wash it. Jesus passed by and corrected the problem. Some of us today need a blood transfusion. We're polluted in our own blood. We're polluted by our own sin. We were born that way. On the day you were born, you will come out of the womb speaking lies. A sinner. Need a blood transfusion. That polluted blood needs to be washed off, and I'm referring to that blood as that blood is sin. That blood is polluted. You were born in that blood. Whereas thou was naked and bare, now when I passed by thee and looked upon thee, behold, thy time was the time of love. And I spread my skirt over thee, and I covered thy nakedness. Yea, I swear unto thee, and entered into a covenant with thee. And so thus saith the Lord, thou becamest mine. And if you're saved today, you belong to God. You belong to Jesus Christ. You're His child. He picked you up. He cut your navel. He washed you with water. He salted your body. And swallowed you in swaddling clothes. The way abortions run rampant in our nation today, it ought to be against the law. The multitude of people, they'll walk right by a baby in that condition. They want to abort them after birth now, after they're born. Now when I passed by thee and looked upon thee, behold, it was a time of love, and I spread my skirt over thee, and I covered thy nakedness, and I swear unto thee, and entered a covenant with thee, saith the Lord, and thou becamest mine. Then I washed thee with water, and I anointed thee with oil, and I clothed thee also with broidered work, and shod thee with badger skin, and I girded thee about with fine linen. I covered thee with silk, and I decked thee also with ornaments, and put bracelets upon thy hands, and a chain upon thy neck, and I put a jewel in the forehead, and earrings in thy ears, and a beautiful crown upon my head. Thou wast decked in gold and silver, and raiment with fine linen, and silk, and broidered work. Thou didst eat fine flour and honey and oil, and was exceedingly beautiful. Listen, if you're saved today, in God's eyes, you're exceedingly beautiful. We're going to get to really gets me right here, the end of this chapter, or the end of this paragraph. And thy renown went out among the heathen for thy beauty, and it was perfect. It was perfect through my comeliness. It was perfect because God did it. It was perfect through Jesus Christ, through Him. All these ornaments. Can you see this child now grown, decked, covered in silver and gold? A crown upon his head. Brother, if you're saved today, you are a crown upon your head. You are a child of God. You owe it all to Him. It was perfect through my comeliness, which I had put upon thee, saith the Lord. Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, Chapter 61, verse 10 says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for He hath clothed me with garments of salvation. As a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as the bride adorneth herself with jewels. He adorned us with salvation. First Corinthians 6:11 says, and such were some of you, but you washed. And when it talks about such were some of you were laying in that field, needing all that done to you. Such were some of you, sinners, polluted in your own blood. But ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of our God. It's amazing. But there's a guy I watch on TV. I can't remember, Jesse Peterson. He's a black man. I love him to death. And he'll talk about it. And he says, that's amazing. It's amazing. It is amazing. What I'm talking about here today is amazing. It's amazing grace. Revelation 1:5 talks about Jesus and said, and from Jesus Christ, who was the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. We went from that polluted blood to that pure blood. We have the heritage of a king now. We are the seed of Abraham. He washes from our sin in his own blood. Romans 5:17 says, for by one man the offense reigned by one. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one. And it says his name there, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Fixed us all. Ephesians chapter 2, if you read there at verse 2, and it says, and you who he hath quickened, we were dead men walking, but he quickened us. Quickened means he made us alive. He rescued us. He saved us. But you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherein he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you're saved. The grace of God is picking that child up, is rescuing that child, is giving that child everything it needs to survive. And not only that, then giving it riches, fine clothes, and making it to prosper. God's made us to prosper. And I'm not a prosper preacher. I can live good with no money and still be happy. If you're having to ask God for money, something's not right in your life. By grace you're saved, and hath raised us together and made us sit together in heavenly places. Just like that he did that child. That in ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Jesus Christ. For by grace you're saved through faith. It's not of works. You can't do nothing. There's nothing you can do to save yourself. But you can cry. That's That's all you got left. All you got left is to cry out to God. And that not of yourself, it is a gift to God. God gave you a gift to cry out. That's all that child had left. That young is over there screaming, and Jesus passed by. It was polluted in his own blood, but Jesus passed by. I get so tired of the temporal mess and the Jesus passed by here for us. It's not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are his workmanship. He created in us in Jesus Christ unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. See, you get in a mess when you put the box of time around God. He doesn't live there. He knows what the end of the world is now. He knows what the end of your life is now. He knew that you were going to be one of his from the beginning. He before ordained it. He knew that child would be cast into an open field, and he knew he would rescue it. I love this verse in Titus. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done. It's not by works of righteousness, but it's according to his mercy. He saved us by washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. He washed that polluted blood off of us, and he applied his own pure blood to us. That's the washing of regeneration. And there has to be a time in your life that you say, you accept and you say, God washed me. He regenerated me. I'm a sinner, and I live in polluted blood. I was born with it. Are you regenerated? That's a question. I know everybody goes through times of doubt and times of discouragement. I do. Gone through that several times in my life, but I've always came back to realize that God had washed me and God had regenerated me and God gave me faith to live by. And that faith through the Holy Ghost makes me carry on. It renews my faith in Him. First Timothy, first chapter, 1 Timothy 1, verse 14. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love which is in Christ. This is a faithful thing and worthy of all the acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. You're that child that's been cast into an open field that needs all that work done to it. And Jesus Christ is the only one that can fix it. There is no other. There are people that say there's different routes to heaven. No, there's not. There's one way, and that's Jesus Christ. He's the only one that paid the price. He's the only one that shed his blood for your salvation. I have to bicker with Paul sometimes that he said he was the chief of sinners. I don't know. I might have something on him there. Like me and my uncle playing golf, it's always close. That's why I like to play with him. He always beats me, but it's always close. And I have to tell Paul today, you may be the chief, but it sure is close. And I find the older I get, the more I get older, all that dirty, polluted blood and sin in my life, I want it washed away. I want it pushed away. The more faith you have in Christ, the easier it is to escape that trap. Even though my flesh says, yeah, that might be a good thing to do, my spirit says no. And we're not like the homosexual that parade our sin in the street and are proud of it. We don't have a Pride Month here at Sovereign Grace Baptist Church. It's not welcome here. That's a sin. There's no pride in it. Actually, pride is the sin. Actually, pride is the sin that Lucifer committed against God. It's the top of the line, pride. And it takes a man to say, I'm the chief of sinners. I didn't deserve to be picked up out of that field. But God's eye pitied me. He has a plan. He had a plan then. He has a plan now. And that plan is for you to live a good life. God, Jesus Christ gave us life and He gave it more abundantly. It's not just a good life. It's a better life and it has more to it than you could ever imagine. You will be decked with ornaments, and it may not be the ornaments of silver and gold and the monetary value. It may just be ornaments of love, that you have somebody that loves you, that you have somebody that cares for you. That's life more abundantly. He may allow you to go out and plant a garden and watch it grow and feed your neighbors. It's not talking about monetary value there. Talking about living a good life. It's talking about sitting on the porch and picking bees, preparing pears, and talking about the Lord while you're doing it, and giving Him the glory for what He did when He saved you. And when you get to that point in your life and your renown goes out and your neighbors say, he's the same man, I can tell just by the way he lives, by the way he acts, by the way he talks. When your renown goes out for your own beauty, where it was perfect through God's comeliness, you have to give all the credit to Jesus Christ. It's not anything you did. It's not by works of righteousness. It's not by works of righteousness what you have done, but it's according to His mercy that He saved us and washed us with regeneration through the Holy Ghost. I'm going to end. We're going to do one more Bible phrase, paragraph, chapter, whatever you like to call it. But I like to fill my preaching full of Bible. I love the Bible. If I had wrote the Bible, it would be much different than it is. But I defer to the Bible for a guide to live my life. The Word of God. Hebrews 1, starting there, verse 1. God, who is at sundry times and divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things. By him also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the expressed image of his person. That's talking about Jesus Christ was like God. It's describing him as God. And upholding all things by the word of his power, when he hath by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, that's God the Father, being made so much better than the angels, he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. But unto his Son, he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is in the scepter of thine kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with oil of gladness above thy fellows. And thou, Lord, in the beginning, hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thine hands. I have a hard time separating Jesus Christ from God the Father, because I think they're the same person. They're separate but the same. God the Father made him that way. He gave him that inheritance. He put that scepter in his hand. And by doing that, he gave Jesus Christ the power of saving us all, saving you and me. He gave him the power of salvation through the works of Christ. That means when he hung on that cross, he was saving you. It could be no other way. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. You stay in your polluted area. You stay in your polluted state without that. So I'll leave off with a question today. And the question is, are you crying out to God? Do you feel like none I pity thee? No one hath compassion on thee? Every time I've run into a bad area in my life, I found a place and I fell on my knees and I cried out to God. And he miraculously fixed it. He picked me up. I didn't pick myself up. He picked me up and said, son, go on. Go on. Keep going. You're on the right track. I've done all this great stuff for you. I put a crown on your head. The kind of message that needs to be out there in the public. Everybody needs to hear it. I'm proud of Brother David doing the Wednesday night evening service out in the public. It takes a lot of courage to do that. I'm proud of you, David. Proud of that. Ordinary preachers wouldn't dare. But we need to bring the gospel to the public, the people that need to hear. The people that are laying in the field, wallowing in their own polluted blood. We need to tell them they're secure. Christ can pick you up. Christ can swaddle you. He can hang ornaments and crowns on your head and put you in fine linen and embroidered clothes and give you life more abundantly. But do you trust him? Have you asked him? Have you said, Lord, am I one of yours? If you ask him, he'll answer you. He'll tell you whether you're one or not. See, a lost man's not going to ask. A lost man won't ask. They run from God. So if you've asked God, that's a good example, a good sign that you're one of his. And with that, Brother David, that's it.